Good evening. It's a blessing to be gathered together. I thought we were just both sharing, Barry, so maybe we should just... The last little while I've been preparing for some things and been doing a little bit of a... going to be studying some the next few weeks here at Bible school in the book of Joshua, Judges and Ruth, some Old Testament people and God's people. And in the beginning of the book there of Joshua, it says that the children of Israel was on the east side of Jordan, and they stood and they looked over Jordan, and they could see the promised land over there. And it says in the first chapter there of Joshua that they were going to cross that and go in and begin to conquer that land in 3 days. And I had to think of a type and shadow there. They had just came out of the wilderness. They had been in the wilderness for 40 years, and everyone but Joshua and Caleb had died out in the wilderness. And so probably a couple million people had died out in the wilderness, and they had experienced a lot of death and complaining and a lot of miracles of God. And so after 40 years of being in the wilderness, and the God tells them, in 3 days you're going to cross that river Jordan, and you're going to go over there, and I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you the promised land that I promised to your father Abraham. And would it not have been silly at that point for those people to say, oh, we don't want to go over there. We don't want to inherit the promised land. Oh, no, we would rather just go back and wander in the wilderness. We kind of liked being thirsty, and we kind of liked the dirt, and we kind of liked the enemies out there, and we kind of liked death. And so I think maybe we'll just go back into the wilderness, and I guess we kind of decided that, you know, that doesn't look so great over there anyhow, and this old desert and wilderness over here, that looks pretty nice. So, well, we would have said how foolish that would have been. But I think about that, you know, it's 2021 and it's almost 8:30 in the evening, and it's December the 31st, and we're only about 3.5 hours away, if the Lord tarries. In about 3.5 hours, we're going to enter, 2022, if the Lord tarries, and if we all continue to breathe up till that point from here on. I wonder, maybe at the time that we are in this world, in this life, maybe it's similar to the children of Israel standing there at the river of Jordan. And in only 3 more days, you know, if the Lord tarries a few more short years or however long it is, it's really only, what, a few seconds or a few days. And so let's not take our eyes off the promised land, okay? Let's cross over and continue on. And go on over into the promised land. And, you know, as I study that, some people like, and I understand, I like types and shadows, but I actually like to think of Canaan as the Christian life, because when I get to the promised land, I don't want any battles. How about you? I don't want to have to destroy the enemy. I don't want to have to be fighting and all this and that, but I kind of look at Canaan as the Christian life, that we go over and God has promised He will be with us and He will care for us, and that we have a better land prepared. Well, I was asked tonight if I would share a little bit on salvation, and so I want to talk a little bit tonight about the importance of salvation. And in the time that we live, There is tremendous confusion, and there's tremendous confusion on what's right and what's wrong. We don't. There's so many lies out there that we really don't know for sure what is truth. There may be medical lies, lies in the medical field, in the pulpits, in the government. Just great deception. And so we live in a time that we have some really, really, really important decisions to make. And I want to encourage us as brothers and sisters tonight that I believe almost daily part of our prayer time should be crying out to God for wisdom to know how to live and to make decisions today. Because there are two ways, and there are two choices, and there are two destinations, and I only want one. How about you? I only want one tonight. I don't want to be iffy. I like to say that when it comes time to die, I want to be able to just die. And what I mean by that is, thank you. What I mean by that is, you know, some people, they live their life and they think, boy, I hope that I have a chance at the end that I can get right with God, or I hope that maybe at the last second I can get right with God, it's how people live and people die. But let me tell you something. Most of us here tonight will die exactly the way we lived. If we live right with God right now, that's probably how we will die. If we're living for ourselves right now, that's how we will die, most likely. Most people do not get the privilege at the last moment to get right with God. And so as we think about that, when the Bible says that today is the day of salvation, I remember there were a true story of two young men. And these two young men made choices in their life. And they both had choices to choose right, and they had choices to choose wrong. The one young man, I know he's a pastor friend of mine, his brother is, and he passed away at a, I don't know if he was in his later teens or, I don't know, teens, the 20s, I'm not for sure. But he loved the Lord, and he was sold out to the Lord. And one of the things that he said to his father as he was passing away, and I don't know if it was the last moments or the last few days of his life, he would tell his father, he would say, "Father, I see mansions." He said, "I see mansions." He said, "I want to go." Well, there was another young man, I think similar in age to this young man, who was rebellious. And one evening he was out, and at a high rate of speed, he lost control of his vehicle. And when the paramedics came to remove his dead body out of the vehicle, on his whatever player it was that he was playing, there was a song playing, "I'm on a Highway to Hell." And that's the two choices that we have tonight. It's either heaven or hell. And God said in His Word that you cannot serve both of these kingdoms. He said you can only serve one. He said you can't serve money and me. And we have to ask ourselves tonight, do we serve money or do we serve God? He said you cannot love God and money. So just let me make the King James makes that pretty clear there, but let me show you something here. This is the Word of God, and this is money. Okay, and we all know what these things are, but God said that you have to choose. We have to choose which one of these we're going to serve. That's what he said. He said, if you want to serve this, That's fine, but you can't serve this. In fact, he said, if you serve this, you will hate this. That's what he said. And then he said, if you love this, you will hate this. That doesn't mean that I'm not talking about that we have to be on our last dollar or we can't have an acre. That's not what I'm talking about tonight, okay? I'm talking about what has my attention. What makes me tick? What makes me get frustrated? When my neighbor dies and I know he wasn't ready to meet God, or when somebody takes me for $1,000? And so we have to ask ourselves tonight, whose camp and who am I fighting for? And I want to read a few verses tonight. A lot of you probably don't have your Bibles with you, but Matthew chapter 24, I want to read a few verses from there. Matthew chapter 24, begin reading at verse 36. And Jesus is talking about, I believe, the times that we're living in right now. But he said this. He said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So it says that the coming of the Son of Man is going to be similar, very much like it was in the days of Noah. Okay? It says they were eating and they were drinking. Nothing wrong with eating and drinking as long as it's done rightly and with the right substances. Nothing wrong with eating and drinking. Nothing wrong with being married. But it says that they were given in marriage. They were swiping or they were giving and taking, whatever. And it says that they kept this wickedness up right until the day that Noah went into the ark and God shut the door. And in 7 days it began to rain after that. And so that's the days that I believe that tells a lot of the type of days that we're living in. To me, when the Bible says this, it almost appears like it's kind of saying that back in Noah's day, it was just sort of like, hey, whatever. And excuse the term, okay? But if I say it in today's term, they would say, I'm cool with that. If you're cool with that, that's fine, right? All right. That's how the gay movement gets away with what they're doing. It's only a very small percent of the population that are gay, but a large percent of the population are immoral and want to be immoral, so they don't want to be told what they can't and cannot do, so they just say, just let everybody do whatever they want to. I'm cool with that. Well, God isn't. He is full of wrath towards sin. And his wrath is being filled up, and he hates the sin of mankind. He loves mankind, but he hates the sin. And as it was in the days of Noah, I see that today. I mean, I think we have to be careful. You know, the Bible says it's not wise for us to compare ourselves among ourselves, okay? So we can maybe maybe we can look out into the world, what we would consider the world, and we say, wow, I mean, they're all wrapped up in sports. Or they just go to the Colts game on Sunday instead of to the Lord's house. They're just into pleasure. And so they just like the things of this world, and so they don't care about the things of God. I want to ask us a question, and I want each of us to search our hearts tonight. What do you take pleasure in? What do I take pleasure in? Do I take pleasure in myself? Do I take pleasure in the fact that I have just got it easy? I've got it made. I've got plenty of money. I've got heat. I've got AC. I've got a nice family. I'm just going to kind of kick back and take it easy. Do I live for the next church carry-in? What do I live for? Do I live for the next time I can play volleyball? I enjoy playing volleyball. I enjoy carry-ins. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, what do I live for, though? Or do I enjoy some bow hunting? Or do I just live, can't wait till the next bow season? You know, what do I take pleasure in? Is it the things of God? Or is it the things of this world? And we can enjoy some of those things as we serve God. There's no reason why we can't. But, you know, I think one of the greatest miracles that can happen to a man, to a lady, to mankind is Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about a transformed mind. Okay? That it talks about a mind that thinks different. And I think one of the greatest miracles that happens among us today is when God takes a person's mind that is full of himself and full of lust and full of love of money and full of the things of this world and full of just what's in it for me. And he takes that mind through the being born again and through transformation, and he changes that mind, and that mind begins to think, what can I do for you, Aaron? What can I do for you, Steve? What can I do for the brotherhood? How can I serve God? I need to stop spending so much time in all that stuff and spend some more time in the kingdom work. Sometimes I think we think that we can teach these things. We can teach them, but only a transformed mind can think that way. Does that make sense? We can teach them and we can encourage people, but until the mind is transformed, until the mind has been born again, until the soul and the heart has been born again, and it has repented and it changes, Barry, how good are you in speaking Haitian? Decent? Way better than me. This isn't to put you on the spot. But I asked a brother one time that I did some work with him in Nicaragua and things, and he knew Spanish, and I would love to know, for me, if I could pick a language, it was Spanish. I enjoy working with Spanish people some, and all this and that. But I asked Robert, I said, like, how long, because I'm too lazy to learn Spanish, okay? But I said, how long, when you started learning Spanish, I said, how long was it until you thought you was really getting somewhere? And the point that he told me, he wasn't even necessarily trying to be spiritual, but it stuck with my mind. He said, when you begin to think in Spanish, then you have it. Okay? So think about that. When I begin to think like Christ, then I have it. I'm thinking like Christ. So I'm not thinking like the world and trying to be like Christ. I'm not thinking in English and trying to say it in Spanish. I'm thinking it in Spanish and I'm saying it in Spanish. I'm thinking like Christ, and so I'm acting like Christ. The reason why we act like the world is because we have the world in our hearts. And so, you know, worldly thinking is thinking that is contrary to the thinking of God. And whether that's Haiti, whether that's Nicaragua, whether it's Concord, whether it's Allen County, no matter where it is, without a transformed mind, you're just going to beat a dead horse. You can try, and you can try, and you can try. But once it is transformed, that's what that transformer is doing out there on that electrical pole. There's high voltage coming into there, and that is bringing that down to, and a lot of you in here could understand it a lot more, but it's transforming it to a more usable form as it comes into your electrical box, and then your electrical box is transforming that to a more usable form. And that's what God wants to do with our minds. He wants to transform them so that we can be more usable for His kingdom and more beneficial for His kingdom. And so we are living in the days of Noah. And I think I was sharing with a couple brothers there at supper time. I also think that Romans chapter 1, it says that they did not, when they had a chance to know God, they did not glorify God. And it says that they worshiped and they served the creature or the creation more than God. And so God gave them over, God gave them over, God gave them over. And then what? God gave them up. And I really wonder sometimes if we're not in that God gave them up stage. The thinking today is so warped and it's so twisted, it makes no sense. So I want us to take a few minutes here, and I want to use an illustration from the Old Testament that is probably an illustration that you learned at a very young age. But it's the story of Noah. And as I turn to Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 and 9, it says this. In Genesis chapter 6, 8 and 9, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." So that means that in this wicked time, Noah found favor in God's eyes. Not because he was something special, not because of whatever, but because he had a heart that was after God. It wasn't that he was perfect, but it does say in 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. We know Noah wasn't perfect. We know that none of us are perfect. God has made it impossible for us to be able to earn our salvation. He's made it so impossible, and yet He's made it so ridiculously free that there's really no way that we can brag about it. Now, the cost was His Son, but we are not saved by any kind of work or works that we can do. We're not saved by that. And we're the type of people that we like to work for things and we like to earn things. And if you're trying to earn your salvation tonight, you're going to be very frustrated because you can't earn your salvation. It's free. There's some print that goes along with it. But the actual plan of salvation is free. Coming to God and saying, "God, I'm a sinner and I'm rebellious and I need You. And I believe that You are the Son of God. And I want You to come in and cleanse me. And I want to read Your word. And I want to walk with You. And I want to take You as my Lord and Savior." And it's not of works, because God knew we would boast. Oh, wouldn't we boast? Well, I was part of that church over there. I was baptized forwards. I was baptized backwards. I was baptized, you know, so-and-so baptized me. He knew we would boast. I paid $1 million for my salvation. He knew we would boast. And He made it impossible for us. to earn our salvation. We have to simply come before Him in brokenness and say, Lord, I'm done. Take over. Total surrender. I'm done. I'm done fighting. I'm yours. How can you boast when something's been given to you? You can't rightfully boast when something has been given to you. I think of this man, Noah. We're going to keep moving here. But you as children, I love the story of Noah. But God came to Noah and He said, Noah, it's going to rain and I want you to build an ark. And let's keep in mind here, brothers and sisters, tonight, it had never rained, okay? It had never rained. They didn't even know what rain was. But God said, build a boat. And Noah got busy. And He said, I want you to build it 450 feet long, and I want you to build it 75 feet wide, and I want you to build it 45 feet tall. He said, I want it 3 stories. He said, I want a window and a door. And Noah went to work. I've wondered a little bit how it would have been to be Noah's son. Maybe you say, maybe children, somebody says, you guys, you know, what are you guys? You kind of look weird. Or could you imagine saying, hey, being one of Noah's children and people saying, what's your dad doing? Oh, he's building an ark. Yeah, my dad said he's crazy. Not only is he building an ark, it's not down by the ocean, but it's up there in Mount Ararat. I mean, it's this huge boat, and it's never rained. Never! And so Noah tells the people he's building away for possibly 120 years, and he's working, and his family's building this ark. And Noah's telling these people, he says, people, it's going to rain. And the people would laugh and they would say, Noah, we don't even know what rain is. It's just a conspiracy. It's not going to happen. And Noah would say, yes, God told me it's going to rain. It's going to rain. And they said, Noah. You know, I don't know. Maybe some of the people even pitched in and helped Noah a little bit. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But Noah kept building. I mean, 10 years it never rained, 20 years it never rained, 30 years, 50, 60, 100 years, and it still hadn't rained. It was nice and sunny the whole time. And Noah kept saying, God said it's going to rain, and he kept building this ark. And one of the things that astounds me with Noah is how he did exactly what God told him to do. He did exactly what God told him to do. He didn't say, let's see, when I punch it into the computer here, with as many, I'm going to have 17,600 species of animals here. I'm going to have about 45,000 animals when we get done. And we need our master bedroom here. And looks like maybe we're going to need to make that a little bigger. It might work if we was in Haiti or Nicaragua, but boy, 450 by 75, that's going to make it a little tight. I think we're going to go 500 by 80. That's not what he did. God said, I want you to build a 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. That's if you use the number on cubits that I use. I think when it was done, it wasn't 449 and 6 inches. I think it was 450 feet long, 75 foot wide, and 45 feet tall. And he didn't take one passage and say, well, I need to make this one a little wider and make this one a little skinnier. No, he took the whole Word of God and he built that ark. He didn't pick and choose. He rightly divided the Word of truth. And he said, I want to apply this entire Word of truth to my life. I want to build it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. Six times longer than it's wide. And we should not be amazed at this, but this is still one of the best formulas for building ships today. Six times longer than they are wide. Why? Why shouldn't we? Why should we be ashamed or astonished? God knows. But Noah kept building. People kept making fun. The day came when God began to bring the animals. The ark was completed, and God began to bring those animals. And some people say 17,500 species, 45,000 animals. They begin to come to the ark and go up into the ark. It was all done. The storybook shows it as this ark sitting there, and there's a ramp going up to it, you know. Yep, very much could have been that way. I'm just kind of picturing, just picture that though, you know. Can't you see Noah kind of coming to that door? And these people have been hanging around this boat for 120 years. You can hang around the things of God all your life and never be saved. We can hang around the things of God. We can say the right things. We can look the right way. We can take communion and yet be lost. You see, hanging around that ark did not save the people. Being friends with God's people, being friends with Noah, didn't save them. And as I think of Noah coming to that door, and he steps out onto that walkway, however it was, you know, and he says, won't you come in? He said, it's going to rain. Why don't you come in? No cost. The ark's built, okay? I've already done all the work. God's told me to do it. It's built. All you have to do is walk up that plank and come into the ark. And believe God. That's all you have to do. That's all. And they said, Noah, foolishness. You were saying this 120 years ago. And Noah pleaded with them, come on in. And they said, no. Noah walks back in. This was before the days of probably automatic doors and all this and that. But Noah walks back in, and all of a sudden, the door of the ark just, boop, and it's closed. It says God closed the ark of the door of the ark. And I wonder if the people kind of thought, wow, that made news, wouldn't it, of, wow, that was kind of neat. How'd Noah do that? One day went by. How you doing in there, Noah? Huh? 2 days went by. 3 days. Nice and sunny, Noah. No rain. 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. Hey, Noah, we're having a carry-in today. Why don't you come on out come join us? And it's kind of unique. He won't even answer or anything, just silent. And then the seventh day came. And as they were standing around, and all of a sudden they felt splat. thought, what is this? What is this? And the rain began to pour. I don't know how fast those people were covered. It says it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, so I don't think it was just instant. But you know, as they began to feel those raindrops, I wonder if they started to think, you know, maybe, we'll make it. If it was America, we'd say, we can make it through this. The government would come along and say, we're going to do this. We've always pulled together. We'll make it through this rainstorm. Don't worry about it. We're going to make it. We're going to be better and stronger than ever. Wonder what they thought when the rain got up to their ankles. And then it got up to their knees. And then it got up to their waist. Hey, Noah, we believe. Sorry, God shut the door, and no man can open it. I wonder what they thought when it got up to their chest. Oh, God, we're sorry, we believe. Total quietness, except for the pouring of the rain. God, we believe. I'm sorry. And the rain got up to here. Then they tried to climb the mountains and the trees, and maybe they survived another half of a day. God, we're sorry. We're fasting and praying. God, we're sorry. Finally, the last mouth was closed, and all of mankind that was not in the ark drowned. An absolute vivid picture is of us today that without Jesus Christ, we're on the outside. That ark is an absolute type of Christ. There's only one way in, one door. And when that door is shut, the window of opportunity is over. I can't think of anything more horrifying than to cry out to God and hear total silence, deadness. God! Really? Come on! I'll do anything! Nothing. Nothing. You see? God has made it so easy for us if we're willing to die to ourselves and to walk into Christ and allow Christ to be in us. That when the rains come, the Bible talks about that. Some men's sins go before them to judgment. That means when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And they go to the judgment seat of Christ and they are judged and they are thrown away forever. Never to be brought up again. But there's going to be people. The Bible says that we're all going to bow the knee before Him. Can you imagine Donald Trump standing before God? Thank God, you're right. Joe Biden, Adolf Hitler. All the sports figures, all of us here. We're going to say, yes, you are God. You're God. You're right. And only those of us who our sins have went to judgment before us, will it be a wonderful time. The others can cry out, God! I don't know you. Depart. I don't know you. I do not know you. One time I was preaching and I said that statement.
No, I'm sorry. I said something that the Lord probably said, please, and a brother told me afterwards, he said, God doesn't say please, he's God. And that's right. Once we get to that point, it's not going to be, I'm sorry. He's going to say, depart. I gave you my grace. I gave you my love. I gave you numerous, numerous opportunities. I told you you had to forgive. I told you you couldn't make it. Brothers and sisters, tonight I want to be a man of forgiveness. I don't want any root of bitterness. I don't want anything in my life that God's going to say, you had a root of this or you had a root of that. I told you you had to forgive. I told you you needed to stop that. I warned you. My Holy Spirit spoke to you. You said, stop it. But oh, for those of us who have said, yes, Lord, we want your blood. We can choose, but when Christ comes back or when he comes to get us, one, he could take some of us home tonight. He could take all of us home tonight. For some, he'll be coming back as a redeemer, as others, a judge. I want him to be my redeemer. How about you? I want him to be my redeemer. Jesus said in Romans, and I'm sorry, I have the wrong verse. I'm looking for my verse here. Matthew 11, I think it's the greatest invitation. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I'll give you rest. Just come. He said, I'll make my, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, just come. Just come to me. Does it mean we won't face anything? Oh, absolutely not. Does it mean there won't be war and there won't be battles? Absolutely not. But he said, I'll help you. I'll sustain you. He promised the land to the children of Israel, but he said, there's going to be battles. There's going to be wars. But I will go with you. I will be with you. I will sustain you. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Say it together. Eternal life. I mean, it's so simple. Do I want death or do I want eternal life? But it's going to happen, and whether I allow my mind to be transformed to think like Christ. You know, years ago, there was a lady, Genoveva, who had been, I'm going to tell this and then we're going to very shortly here close in just a moment. She had been in concentration camps and things. And she, I read or heard it or something, I'm not for sure, but the guards gathered a number of the women together. And they said, ladies, something exciting is happening today. Some of us are going to be released, and you have been chosen to be released. And oh, there was excitement, and they had to go through 7 gates to be released, and they came to the first gate, and it opened, and they walked on through, and they came to the next one, and to the next one. However, how many ever, I think it was 7, but they came to the final gate, and it wouldn't open. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And they began to become restless, and they waited some more. And then the guards came back out. It was a joke. They said very sarcastically, ladies, there's been a mistake. No one's being released today. And she said, those women, she's seen women take their fingernails and claw at their faces because of the disappointment of not being released. I don't want to come to the final gate and have God say, I don't know you. We're not going to be deceived if we're following God. I've been born again. I've confessed my sins. I'm walking in truth with God. And I want to serve Him with all my heart. The facts tell us that we're saved. And the Word of God tells us we're saved. I think of that. The Bible says people's going to be deceived. And they're going to say, oh, we cast out devils in your name. And He says, I don't know you. Depart! I want to hear Him say, well done. Let's say that together. Well done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths of your word. Lord, help us to be men and women of God who are faithful, who are sold out to you. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to my heart and to everyone's heart here this evening. Lord, that we would be in that ark, that we would be in Christ. And Lord, that we will someday hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.